And they just keep coming in. Here's another one. 39-year-old medical doctor and son of the former Chief Justice of the Supreme Court in Trinidad found dead after the COVID injection. I'm firmly of a mind that the 501 dead in the United States figure is a gross lie and a major understatement. And I predicate that on talking to private individuals and certainly the doctor who called the other day, that woman in the East. I told you the story just to recap it briefly. She works in an urgent care facility and takes care of about 7 or 8 extended care facilities for seniors, ages 60, early 60s to mid 80s, that kind of thing. Nobody was dying there. They were fine. This is a professional doctor, 50-ish in that age group. And they gave the vaccine, came around, gave the vaccines to the people. I don't think they could force it on them, but a lot of them volunteered to take it. And within 48 hours, 7 were dead. The second dose came around, and 12 died within 48 hours after that injection. So there's 19 right there. So I think that this figure is ludicrous. It could be 5,000. We'll never know the whole truth. They're saying 10,000 with adverse reactions, but I've seen 40,000, and they're running the gamut from total. Imagine waking up with your face, half of your face totally paralyzed. You can't move it. You can't do anything. I'll candidly admit that I had years ago Bell's palsy. It's the same thing. I woke up in the morning, went in the bathroom, brushed my teeth, looked in the mirror, and my face felt funny. And one half of my face, my eye was staring out into the middle of nowhere. My eyebrow was floating up on my forehead. I had no expression in my mouth, nothing. It was dead. I couldn't move it. And 6.5 hours of surgery later, they gave me back the ability to look normal. It's not a joke. That's one of the survivable aspects of this horrible, horrible non-vaccine, this injection, this death injection. There are dozens of different kinds of things that are happening to people. And when you burden the human body with a genetic alteration that causes your body's cells, brain cells, kidney cells, all cells, to produce the actual protein that the virus does, your immune system doesn't know which way to turn. It's at war 25 hours a day, and eventually it'll burn itself down to next to nothing, opening the door for all kinds of severe and fatal illnesses and disorders. This is their plan. It's a fraud. There's no pandemic. They can't isolate the virus. We just went through that with Dede a few minutes ago. 40 countries cannot isolate the virus. CDC can't isolate the virus. So it's all about fear porn, keeping people completely subjugated and under the boot, predicated on fear. Gerald Celente, thank you for the little pause there. I just wanted to get that stuff in there. Welcome back, my friend.
Thanks for having me on. No, I agree with you 100%. You know, going back a year ago, now a little more than a year.
You were on it.
January 28th, the cover of our Trends Journal. Coronavirus, 106 dead in China. And our next line was 1.4 billion still alive. Like, what are you telling me this stuff for? And that was the beginning of it all happening. And then they used that to lock down Hong Kong. They couldn't stop what was going on in Hong Kong. And all of a sudden that stopped. It was over. And I used to be on Hong Kong TV a number of times when all these protests were going on, covering it every week in the Trends Journal. And I'd be talking to the guys, between breaks. And I said, so what's really going on over there? Said, oh no, we're not stopping to fight. We're going to keep fighting. They're not going to take us over. Guess what? Gone. Finished. And the hysteria, and you said it too. You know, that's we said that right away. It was fear and hysteria, and that little slimy piece of garbage, crap, scum, lowlife. That's the head of CNN, Zucker. And you could take that Z out there and put any other letter you want in front of it.
You got it.
And he was the guy that you quoted in the Wall Street Journal in February, telling the staff to stay on this, to people who are watching it. And their ratings are in the toilet. So those are the facts. And again, it's not only in America, and that's what people have to understand. We put out a weekly magazine. You see it, and it's filled with information. 100 what? This week was about 137 pages. No advertisements. Last week was about 140 something. So we put all the facts in there, and the facts are that the people that are dying from this are mostly elderly with pre-existing chronic conditions. 2.6 of them, according to the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So I want to mention what's just happening, and I did it now, Trends in the News broadcast tonight. It didn't happen yet when I had done it at 6:30 Eastern Time, but now it has. And this is the headline. There are fears, this is the first paragraph. There are fears that Melbourne is on the brink of a third lockdown this morning as a cluster. Remember the word cluster?
Yeah.
Cases linked to Victoria's hotel quarantine system. You ready? Grows to 13. 13 cases. These aren't deaths now. These are cases. And as you well know, and everyone listening knows, the PCR tests are totally inaccurate. But those are the cases. Now, Melbourne has a population of 6.35 million people. Why are you telling me, you little jerk, that 13 people have cases? Why, I'm little Danny Andrews, a guy with cojones, smaller than a mothball. Just look at me going, Google me up. I'm a little nothing of a clown. Google me. So now that was then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now
of those 13 cases, of those 13 cases, even if they do nothing to treat themselves with vitamin C, zinc, any of these things, if they do nothing, no vitamin D, the chances of them surviving are 99.94%. Surviving. That's doing nothing.
All right, so that's one part of it, right? All right, now here's the headline. Victoria will go into tough circuit breaker lockdown at midnight on Friday as authorities, they're authorities, you know. We're just everybody listening. I want you all to get this in your head. All you are are little plantation workers on Slavelandia. We have authorities, officials, and dignitaries to tell us what to do. So just get that straight, because that's the way the media puts it out there. So the authorities, Premier Daniel Andrews, a little piece of crap, announced the 5-day lockdown on Friday afternoon. All right, now, why 5 days and not 4 days? Why not 6 days and not 12 days? Well, because this is so infectious and it's moving so fast, we need a circuit breaker, he said. Now, that's the first part of it. Part number two. And anybody could go do this. It's right there for anybody to look at. You Google up health.gov.au, resources COVID-19, by age group and sex. All right?
Okay.
COVID-19 deaths by age group and sex. People This is how many people under 69 died. So under 70, we'll say, right?
Sure.
All right. Oh, it went away, isn't it? Damn it, what happened here?
I'm here.
No, the thing just went up. I just had it here. Just,
oh. All right, reload it. It's okay.
Yeah,
I'll just mention while you're doing that. Reload it. Australia is clearly and obviously
here we go.
Used as a beta test to see how far they can push people.
All right, people under 70.
Okay.
12 females and 26 males. All right. Now remember, this is a year, and this is the whole country, 8.36 million people. All right, 58 to 59. 10 males, 5 females. 40 to 49, 2 males. 30 to 39, 2 males. 20 to 29, 1 male. That's it. That's it. Nobody under 20 died. And now remember we have a grand total of 820 deaths. I just read you the numbers of under 70. Here's the percentage. 0.0128% of the people died in a year.
Allegedly from coronavirus. We don't know. Yeah.
Right, we don't know, but even if we do know, and it's true,
yeah,
this adds up to nothing.
What was it? Could do that again.
0.0128%.
Oh,
that's of the population. They just locked down the place. Where are the people? Where are the people standing up and fighting? It's not only America, and this is what I'm saying.
Oh. Right.
It's everywhere. And you look at this little guy. Could you imagine this guy coming up to me and giving me an order? Come over here. Come over here and try to make me a little.
You take his
head
off.
And the people are taking it. The people are taking it. They're taking it.
They're afraid. They're afraid. They got no access to real information, Gerald, because they stare at the damn television and look at commercial news, which is all corrupt. It's all propaganda, mind control. They are brainwashed. Brainwashed.
All right, now I'm going to follow up on what you just said. You said they're brainwashed, propaganda, watch the mainstream news. This is from Financial Times yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Fox News plans to maintain center-right slant. Now, this is out of the mouth of Murdoch, who they quote. Murdoch indicated that Fox News will not pivot, stating, quote, "We will stick where we are, and we think that is exactly right, and it is the best thing," you ready, "for the business." Quote.
There it is.
For the business, right? "We believe where we are targeted to the center right is exactly where we should be targeted."
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're not a journalist. This isn't journalism. It's business. You're going after that category. So you're going to shove the crap that they love to swallow right down their mouth. Right, Murdoch? Right? It's not journalism, Murdoch. You're saying it right out of your fat mouth, Murdoch. Hey, I better be careful because Murdoch might murder me.
It's right here
in the Financial Times.
Yeah,
I'm reading it to you word for word.
I got it. No, look, when Tucker stumbled and said he was not going to cover the Hunter Biden story because he used to be a neighbor of Hunter Biden's, and I don't believe in kicking a man when he's down. Never mind what he's down doing. So Tucker said that about Hunter Biden. Oh, and he said also, and I knew his wife. So I'm not going to cover that story on this program. He lost about 35 or 40% of his audience with that. And Fox has gone into a terrible dive. And what they had to say, well, Tucker Carlson isn't a journalist. This is Fox. He's an entertainer. And that's how they let him off the hook, by not covering one of the biggest stories of the year.
Let me tell you Tucker Carlson's story. Tucker Carlson used to be on MSNBC. And I used to be on all the shows, you know that, at one time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they were down in Secaucus, New Jersey. That's where their headquarters are, MSNBC. Secaucus, by the way, when I was a little kid, one time we went through there, my father, may rest in peace, and they had all these signs called abattoirs. I didn't know what they were. They're pig slaughterhouses. That's what Secaucus was at one time.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I get down there, it's like it's about 9 o'clock at night, and they have a small green room. And I'm sitting there, and I'm going on the next guest, and I'm listening to this woman ranting on and on. And Tucker Carlson, she leaves, and Tucker Carlson, I said, hello, hi, hi. And I said to Tucker Carlson, I said, hey, go ahead, Gerald, how you doing? Great, great. I used to be on with him a lot. I said, I'm doing fine, you know. I said, who is that? I said, that person's insufferable. He said, her name is Rachel Maddow. They're grooming her. This is like 2007, 2008.
Funny. Yeah.
That's my
showbiz.
Tucker Carlson story.
Showbiz. That's a good one.
Yep.
That tells. Look, all of you listening know. You wouldn't be listening if you didn't know. You know that you're being conned around the clock with this crap. Six corporations own 95% of the media that the average sheep watch. That's it.
And you could thank slimy Bill Clinton for that.
He did
the 1996 Federal Communications Act.
It. That's it. That was the day when that act was passed that the words antitrust ceased to exist in the English language.
Yep.
They died.
Yep. That's what's going on. You said about fear and hysteria that they're selling. I just told you what's going on in Australia. We're talking, again, a country of 8.36 million people, 120 deaths in 1 year. And then I gave you who's dying. And you got this little clown boy, Danny Andrews. You got to see this guy. He's a little boy. He said, this is the kind of kid, like when we used to beat up when I was, a kid, in the Bronx, They were the brown noses and they'd rat you out. You beat them up because they ratted you out doing something. And then they go home crying, And then they call the teacher up. Yeah, but anyway, that's who this guy is. They're little nothings. And so this is serious because we're going into the greatest depression. The fallout from this is unprecedented, and the Great Reset is not a fiction. It's a nonfiction book by that Klaus Schwab.
There you go. Yeah,
everybody
can
see it.
Oh, there's another. That guy is. You remember the brilliant Peter Sellers and Dr. Strangelove playing Dr. Strangelove. Well, this Klaus Schwab is out of the same kind of a mold. This guy can't. You look at him; this can't be real with his accent.
I know.
Some
look
of the,
at
some
all
of the crap
them.
He says. Oh, they're incredible. I know.
Look at all of them. I mean, we told our subscribers, don't pay any attention at all to what's going on with the impeachment process. It's a total waste of time and our taxpayer money. We said this with the first impeachment. There's no way that the Senate, being now that it's 50-50, what it was about 53 before 40-something back in the first impeachment, there's no way they're going to get a supermajority of 67% are going, 67 are going to vote against Trump. They convict him. They're not going to convict him. It's a waste of time.
Totally.
And what is all the media now? I mean, it's nothing more than a waste of time. Go to the Cartoon News Network, CNN. Three GOP senators talk strategy with Trump's team. That's the whole headline. That's all there is when you go there.
No,
you look at the faces of these stupid little imbeciles. Lindsay, did you come out of the closet yet, Graham? A little clown boy, Teddy Cruz. One little jerk, moron, simpleton, idiot after another, and these are the people running and ruining your lives. One after another. And then you got in the same little, Diane Not-So-Feinstein, Nancy Pelosi, Chuckie Schumer. When are the people going to grow up? And it's not bipartisan. I just figured it out. It's not bipartisan. It's bipolar. That's
good.
They're bipolar.
That's excellent. Perfect fit. Yeah, it is. Totally bipolar. I agree. There's, Gerald, Neither one of us are negative people at all. But with the amount of control and the boot on the face of the masses through this controlled media monolith, this monstrosity, where people actually think they're learning something and being informed, they're not. And with that much control, people like us, we have no access to the masses. We have no access to these people. They don't have a chance. I'm not going to give them a green light and a free ticket, but they don't have a chance. They're a captive audience. They're being crushed into oblivion with this constant program. They are told what news is. They are told this impeachment charade, this bullshit that is wasting millions of dollars again, is news. It's not news. It's a charade.
Yep. And the reason why we told, our, you know, subscribers don't bother with this is because if you put your energy there, you're wasting it because you could be learning and doing other things that are going to be beneficial to you.
Absolutely. Like prepping, for God's sakes. You better get ready.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when Department of Homeland Security warned everybody 2 years ago last November, you better prepare to be without electricity for up to 6 months. They're not joking. They know something's coming or very likely to come. And if the lights go out in your portion of the country and they don't come back on, what the hell are you going to do? You better be prepared. And you still have a chance now. You've got a chance. There's still food in the shelves of Costco and things. So go buy some things in bags that are freeze-dried and that'll last for a few years. Give yourself a fighting chance. And I know it's easy to say, a lot of you don't have the money, you just don't, and you're facing eviction, foreclosure, and worse. But try. Do your best. Hold on, we'll be right back. Okay, welcome back. Gerald, when you talk to your friends, those who get it, those who are on the right side of reality here, and unfortunately, most of you out there listening have lost friends, lost family, or have certainly come up against people who will no longer even talk to you. They think you're nuts. But when you talk to people, Gerald, who get it, what are their frustrations? How do they express that to you? They've got to be about as disappointed as we are, and all of us listening, that more people will not at least give you a chance and let you present the reality of what we're facing here. This is real. This is not some MSNBC crap. This is reality, and yet they won't do it. And a lot of it has to do with fear. I understand that. They've been set up. They've been beaten down. They've been programmed. I understand that. But still, you'd think that more of them would want to open their minds, and we should have hundreds of thousands and millions of Americans in the streets about this mask crap and this fake vaccine crap. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. Again, I just tell you what's going on in Australia.
Australia, yeah. I just sent you something you're going to want to listen to when you have a little time. It's really interesting.
And then you go to France and take a trip to Italy.
Oh.
And how about Spain? And what about Portugal? And what about Belgium and Netherlands? What about Denmark? It's one country after another. And the numbers, again, don't add. They're locking down Germany again. They're locking down Germany.
Communist Merkel is locking down Germany again.
It's one after another. You know, and so this, to me, as I said before, what they found, I was reading like last year or something, they found a skull that was 20 million years old.
Mm-hmm.
I know, everything began when Moses came down with the Ten Commandments. I got it, but I think there was life before that, you know. And
Different.
What I'm saying is we don't have a clue.
No,
and to me, this is bigger than the Great Reset. there's something bigger than it, and I don't know whether it's alien. And by the way, I could tell the story again. I think I may have told it. We're in 1984, going over the Rhinecliff Bridge, and seeing a big red triangle with my former wife, may she rest in peace, Marianne, and we're just coming back from taking a Tai Chi class, and it was about 10 o'clock at night, and we're going over the bridge, and I used to do a lot of hot air ballooning back in those days with two of my buddies.
Yeah.
And so I was going hot air ballooning. What a wild time. Anyway, and I was also frying, because, you know, I do talks all over, and I was living in Rhinebeck. So in order to go to an airport that I could fly direct for someplace, I take a private plane. I'm only mentioning this because I know height and speed in the air. So we're going over the bridge, and just as we're going, this bridge goes over the Hudson River. Just as we're going over the bridge out of the northeast, this big, big red triangle, about 500 feet high. And
that's awfully low. Wow.
Awfully low, and going about 30 knots. I stopped the car. This is 10 o'clock at night on the top of the bridge to get out to watch this. And we're watching it, and all of a sudden, the security truck comes up, like a pickup truck. The guy starts yelling at me, "Get back in your car! Get back in your car!" I said, "Look at this!" And I'm a guy. I'm only like 32 years old back then, 34 years old, and I'm not the guy I am now. I said, "Look at this!" He said, "Get back in your car! Those are helicopters flying in formation." You know, and again, I said, I yell out, "They're not making any noise." He said, "Get back in your car, you'll get arrested."
Yeah. Yeah.
So, next day, anybody can look this up, Kingston, Rhinecliff Bridge, 1994, UFO. We go over the bridge, at the bottom of the bridge is about 15 cars, people watching this. People saw it all over. You know what they said to papers the next day? It was the Dutchess County National Guard doing a night maneuver. Baloney. I know what I saw.
Yeah.
So when I'm going back to, you know, there are more grains of sand, more galaxies, they say, than grains of sand. What's going on now to me is bigger than we cannot comprehend as human beings. Whether it's alien, satanic, whatever it might be, it's something beyond what the mind could understand. And the mind can't understand anything. It's just like a dog, a cat, an animal, they only could do so much. They can't, you know, they can't saw wood, they can't flip eggs. You know, they only could do so much, but they could do things we can't do. We only have a capacity to think so much as humans. And what's going on to me is beyond the capacity of human beings to understand. Because when you see what's going on around the world, how this thing is all locked down, the lives, the hundreds of millions of lives and livelihoods that have been destroyed, that are not coming back, the misery that people are living in, this is beyond the human being's understanding as I see it. And the motto of my magazine, the Trends Journal, is think for yourself.
I think what you just said is timeless. And it's so important now. I use the desk expression. There's nothing off my desk anymore. Very little in terms of potential. We don't know. The universe is stranger than we can imagine. And the things going on here... Not a clue. No chance. No.
And so this is so serious. And again, on the financial end, you know, the markets are totally rigged. Everybody knows that. The Federal Reserve buying up junk bonds, $180,000 something a month, and junk bonds and other bonds. They have zero interest rate, negative interest rates over in Europe, and that's why you're seeing Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, and they're pushing down gold prices. I still see gold at $2,100 plus, and silver over $50 an ounce this year. This is unprecedented what is going on. You're looking at the unemployment numbers just came out again today. People filed it, not the unemployment. They came out last week. You had only 49,000 jobs were created last month. 49,000? Yeah. Oh, and the vast majority of those are government jobs? And then you saw the new filings for unemployment today, and there were almost 800,000.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, the businesses that have gone bust, they're ruined. And the numbers are coming out of Japan. Suicide rates among women just came out yesterday, skyrocketing. Mental health illness all around the world going. The international, the IMF, 90 million people already went down into severe poverty. And in America, they call poverty, you ready for this? A family of two earning under $17,000 a year.
Family of two.
Yeah. So rental on average, if you Google it up, I think it's like $800. So in other words, you can't even pay your rent. That's apartment rental. So the poverty rate, given that number, is a lot of baloney. Poverty for a family of two is probably around $30,000.
It's all lies, Gerald. It's all lies. There's no truth. There's no truth from any organized governmental agency anymore.
Not a bit. And that's why people better support rents. They better support the people that they believe in and listen to, because we're going to be censored, and they're going to do everything they can to stop us. And you're already seeing it. Look what they did to Robert Kennedy Jr.
It's such an incredible set piece. They created the internet for the public. Then they introduced this whole social media to hook everybody into using that for communications. And now they have control of the great majority, and they can make people grovel. They can make them suffer. They censor the hell out of them like they do to RFK Jr. They have no mercy. The hands that control the world communication are 10 hands altogether, 5 people, basically. That's about it.
Yep. Yep.
And they run the world. Think about it.
Yep.
And you, thank God, with the Trends Research, have been on this whole reality paradigm that we're being deprived of all the time. Without you and your contributions and what you've done for so many years, there aren't many, Gerald, because many of them are fakes. They're disinformation shills, they're hacks, they're plants, they're created opposition. There's a lot of that out there, and God help anybody who wades into the internet and tries to figure it out, because it's not easy. They put out good information, 80%, and then they shill you with the crap for 20%. It just happens all the time. So the people it's very difficult for them, and I have great compassion for them. It's hard. It's hard. You can trust Gerald with your life in terms of knowledge and information. He'll never let you down. He never has. His people are the best. Don't forget that. And please consider the Trends Journal. It's the Time magazine. Used to be, sort of, but never will be again. It's better than Time. Time is a rotten rag now. So, you know, get with it. It's a people magazine piece of toilet paper. That's all it is. The Trends Journal is real news, real analysis, real insight, real wisdom. And you don't find that anywhere else. I mean, every time I pick it up, which is not often enough, I just don't have the time. But every time I just open it up and start reading. And every time I do that, I learn something. It's that kind of a publication. You just don't find them anymore. So,
no, thank you. Thank you very much. You know, we put our heart into this. You have no idea. You have no idea how hard we work.
I have an idea.
You have an idea. Yeah, but I have to tell you this. I've never, never worked harder in my life. And I've been working hard, you know, all my life.
Yes.
You know, I'm not like one of these little boys born on third base and thought I hit a home run like
that. Oh, you're not a trust fund kid. You're like me. I've been on my own since I was 11 years old, on my own financially, like you. And nobody's given me anything.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have it any other way. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, parents didn't give us money every week.
No. Sure
no, you know, but they gave me who I am. That's what I'm thankful for the most.
The greatest gift of all.
God, it wouldn't be me, and I couldn't hold a candle to
that
man.
That's
what they pulled off. Oh my God, imagine raising 7 kids.
No.
I couldn't raise one. My mother, may she rest in peace, wished I had had 3 worse than me.
Oh, that's funny. I think
such,
you know what I think.
More, you son of a bitch! You're better off dead. You got 3 worse than you.
Oh, that's
I ran away from kindergarten at 4.5 years old across the Boston Post Road in the Bronx. That was the major artery, the Boston Post Road. It was before the highways. I ran away from kindergarten the second day in kindergarten. They took me out because they know I'd be dead. They couldn't control me. And you know why I ran? You know why I ran away from kindergarten? It was, this, again, the second day. I'll never forget it. The first day, you know, I go to school, my older brothers and sisters, and they go to kindergarten.
Yeah.
And then they said, with Miss Rose, her name was Miss Rose, and she said, okay, time to take a nap. And all the kids, you know, I put their hand on their head, and they laid down on these little things. And I'm just sitting there. And she said, Gerald, it's time to take a nap. So I laid down. The next day, it's time to take. I'm taking a nap every day. I'm going out. My mother, my Aunt Cookie. I'm having the time of my life. I'm tired. I fall asleep. Take a nap. And anyway, next day, time to take a nap. She turns around, walks toward a desk, and I'm a jet, man. I'm fast. I'm out of there before she could blink an eye. And I ran across the Boston Post Road.
That's really, well, you had some, somebody was watching over you, friend. That's,
I'll never forget it, man. I ran it, and their horns are honking, and my mother, may she rest in peace, you know, there were five kids, and I was the youngest, and so then she'd take a job during, you know, between, you know, like 9 and 3, you know, before the kids came back, and she was a secretary right next to our house in the Bronx. It was Mike's Pipe Yard. It was a plumbing place, all pipes and stuff. Anyway, I opened the thing where they put the mail in, and I start yelling out, Ma, Ma! And she, She, you know, goes berserk. Anyway, she quit her job because she knew that they couldn't send me back to school because they couldn't control me. So anyway, that I never went to kindergarten. And so it's brainwashing right from when you're a little kid.
Oh, day
and
one.
Because I grew up, all it is. It's brainwashing.
And worse now. My God, worse now. Way worse now. They're not teaching anything. They're simply programming these little children.
So all it is. Doing. So people don't have the fight in them anymore. It's all gone. And the human spirit has been sucked out of us. You look at the cover of the Trends Journal, and Anthony Fried is a genius. They're every one of them is a blowout. And we have, it's Valentine's Day, and there's a guy with a condom on from head to toe. And that's what it's become.
And a mask.
Young people, yep.
Mm-hmm.
With a mask. And yeah, and young people have no lives. And I could not imagine being a young person.
How are they going to get to know each other? How are they going to have fun and laugh?
They're not.
No, they're being segregated from one another. They're being made to be basically loners, a lot of them. They won't know how, they won't develop social skills. And they're putting masks on talk about kindergarten. They're putting masks on kindergartners, Gerald. These children are being damaged for the rest of their lives.
I know.
This is organized, institutionalized child abuse.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And the parents are doing it. The parents are doing it to their kids. And again, you know, just read you the numbers out of Australia. Anybody can go look at them. Young people aren't dying of this. This is an old person's sick, old person's disease. End of story. Oh, and then, you know, so yesterday's the first time I went out shopping since before Christmas. I have my staff do stuff. I can't stand going out because it's so, you know, terrible. People wearing masks and stuff. Holy God, it was so depressing. It was so depressing to go in there.
Look in their
eyes.
And
everybody wearing masks.
Yeah.
And then I'm looking at the people, and I have to tell you, 85% of them were between 50 to maybe 150 pounds overweight.
Oh yeah, they waddle. They can't run.
Everywhere I was. So you don't think you're going to get sick from this? And you never hear not one peep in the mainstream media about building up your immune system, getting in good shape, take vitamins. No vitamins. Only vaccination. Oh, by the way, I don't know. Do you know Gary Null?
I know of him.
Anyway, Gary Null's a friend of mine. He was a pioneer in alternative medicine.
Yes, he was.
And I host an hour show on Progressive Radio Network that he owns. Anyway, he's also contributing to the Trends Journal, and it's Trends in Getting Healthy. And
great.
We had that, and we also had from Brad Steinemann, rest in peace, which was the number one close combat guy in America. We have survivalism skills on that end, too. So the Trends Journal isn't only about geopolitics, economics.
It's a treasure.
We're bringing as much as we can to help people be the best they can.
That's
and again, everybody out there, this is no sales pitch. You better do what you can to support Rents and the others that you believe in, because they're going to do everything they can to shut us down. If they could do it to JFK's... What?
In broad daylight. Yeah, isn't it?
All right?
RFK.
Oh, by the way, that's another thing. I do this every year. Every November 22nd, that's the day that they assassinated Kennedy. There's never a mention of it in the media.
No more.
It hasn't been going on for 20 years. I've been doing it. And you know that I was with John Connolly, the guy that took the bullet in the back. I've told you that story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Parked out in front. I have a picture of me, him, and his wife.
Tell it. We got 4 or 5 minutes. Tell that story again. That's because people don't remember. And RFK Jr. is who we're talking about. I guess that would be JFK's nephew, like you said. He's been stripped of his social media privileges by one of these platforms. I don't remember which one.
Instagram.
Instagram. All right. So what they do is they've baited us into this whole lifestyle of social media crap. It's all privately owned corporations, so they can really, under the Constitution, do what they want. They all ought to be taken over by the government and made public domain entities, is what they should be, because that's what they are.
That's what they were supposed to be when the whole internet began.
That's right.
Those of us that are old enough to remember.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what happened was I wrote the book Trend Tracking, far better than Megatrends Time Magazine. And in that book, I had forecast that there'd be a new third party and someone like Ross Perot. I wrote this in 88, came out in 89, that someone like Ross Perot would be the candidate that the people were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened. There was a guy named John J. Hooker. He's from Nashville, Tennessee. His brother was the head of Hospital Corporation of America. And the Hooker goes back, his great-great-great-great-uncle was the General Hooker that used to bring the campfire girls around. That's how they got the name Hookers. Anyway,
That's funny.
Yeah, he was the guy that got Perot on Larry King.
Uh-huh.
So Hooker was a huge fan of mine. He'd read my book, and he sent the book to Connolly. Connolly read the book and sent the book to Connolly. Connolly read the book and wanted to meet me. How did I know about this? That's how I went down to Dallas 2 weeks before the 92 election. Him, Pat Cadell, who was a pollster, who was doing the polling for Perot, Hooker, and Rama Fox, Larry King's girlfriend at the time, and myself are down there. We're parked out in front of the book depository. And what you see is the side of the book depository. We were out in front. And a limousine, and Connolly telling the story what happened that day. And the first time back since the assassination.
Wow.
The first time back. And he starts it off by, I'm sitting across from him, and he said, we were coming around, you know, showing how he came around. He said, and I heard a gunshot. He said, I knew it was a gunshot because I was been hunting since I'm a little boy. And I looked to my right. He said, I didn't see anything. He said, I was scrunched up in a jump seat. They used to have jump seats back then. And I was wearing a dark blue suit that day. He said, I looked to my left, and there were brains on my shoulder. He said, I know there were brains because my daddy was a butcher.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he's sitting across from me. And he said, then he goes with two hands. He said, then I felt a pounding on my back. And the bullet went through his back, through his hands, through his hat. He was holding his hat, through his knee. He goes flying forward. Nellie, you can see it, she throws herself on top of him. That's what saved his life. He said, it took us about 12 minutes to get to Parkland. He says, usually about a 20-minute ride. And as the motorcade came screaming up, a doctor was taking a break, saw the motorcade come screaming in, ran down to the emergency room, and it happened to be a thoracic surgeon that worked on Connolly. And what saved his life was his wife hysterically on top of him, and that held his hand over the wound because it went through his lung, right? Ripped through his lung, through his chest. If the air would have gone in through the lungs, he would have suffocated. Now, remember, he's telling the story to me. I'm this guy from, you know, New York. I'm not a
wow.
member of the club over there.
Yeah.
Anyway, as we're driving by, I'm looking at his hands, and he has these big pink splotches on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, how you feeling? He said, not good. He said, I've had adhesions in my lungs.
Mm-hmm.
And it got me on prednisone.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew, I asked him that because my father, may rest in peace,
mm-hmm.
died of from asbestos poisoning from working in the shipyards.
Right.
And they had him on prednisone. So mm-hmm. I saw this story before.
Yeah.
I said to Hooker, I said, Connolly's not going to live much longer. I said, you could see the picture of him. He's all hunched over. And, oh, Gerald, my boy, how could you say that? And I told him why. And Connolly and I stayed in touch up until February, and he died in April.
That's a remarkable story. I don't know if you've told that on this program before. I don't remember it. That is really something. Well, you have this ability. The people who are aware and observant and wise see you immediately as somebody very special. That's clear from all the years I've known you. And that's quite a compliment to you.
Oh, thank
very,
you.
Very
that's very
good.
Kind of you. Thank you.
No, you're very
I'm
welcome.
A blessed man. I'm very blessed from where I came from and all I've been taught. So thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, my friend. I'll talk to you next time. Take care.
Man. Take care. Good night.
Okay. Right. Gerald Celente, Trends Research. Get the journal. It is really wonderful. A wonderful publication. All right. We'll be right back. Hang on.